U.S. and throughout the world. It's football time in Tennessee.
Here's Tua stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Alabama. Devontae Smith. Touchdown, Alabama. And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord.
Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah, give
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50.
He's got it.
40,
he's got it.
20. 10,
he's got it!
End zone! Touchdown, Titans! There are no flags on the field! It's a miracle!
This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour with your host, Drake Colley.
To the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour, I am Drake, joined in the studio by Big Lou Maddox. It is Friday, March 8th, and NCAA basketball tournaments are getting cranked up. High school basketball tournaments are getting ready to head to the state tournament. We have one local team that we're going to talk about of local interest, headed to Murfreesboro next week for the boys single A state tournament. And that would be the Santa Fe Wildcats. As of, I've got an interview with their head coach, Brad Slaughter. Coach Slaughter, his son, Auden, got a nephew, I believe, or cousin, Jack Slaughter.
Yep.
It's a family affair down there at Santa Fe.
It sure is, and you're going to be hearing a lot about them over the next week or so.
Absolutely. And we wanted to bring you all as much information about the Santa Fe Wildcats team because they just celebrated, the Santa Fe Unit School just celebrated their 100 years of existence just last year, I believe.
So this is year 101.
This is year 101, and they are going to the boys, men's, single A division classification of the Tennessee State TWSAA basketball tournament, one of eight teams in left in single A, to represent Santa Fe for the first time ever in school history.
It's crazy.
And they're right here in Maury County, and that's a big deal, folks. It's a big deal.
It is.
And I've got an interview with him coming up, and we're going to talk about his team, a little bit of his history. This is his 10th year. Coach Slaughter has been at Santa Fe. He does not teach at Santa Fe. He's in what I guess they would call an off-site coach. He has another job with Provincial Security. They're in Neapolis, Tennessee, just south of Spring Hill, in between Columbia and Spring Hill. It's where they're located. And but he had two very talented sons. Andy, who's a couple of years older, I think, than Auden, who's playing right now. Auden is playing right now. And Andy was coming up through Santa Fe Unit School in middle school. And Jonathan Slaughter, which I'm sure they're all related. The family tree must be extensive there for the Slaughter family in Santa Fe, was coaching the middle school boys and asked Brad to come on as an assistant coach as his son Andy was coming through middle school. And then as Andy went into high school, ninth grade, there at Santa Fe, Brad moved up with him into high school ranks. After taking over the middle school, when Jonathan Slaughter moved over to coach the girls. So if you were stuck with me with all that, I appreciate that. But
sure.
Tell you what we're going to do. I interviewed, just had some questions for Coach Slaughter yesterday, and we're gonna play that interview for you. See if I can get it set up for you here.
It's a pretty spectacular feat that that Santa Fe has accomplished here.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. So here's the first part of the interview for you.
Okay. I'm here talking with head coach Brad Slaughter, head coach of the Santa Fe Wildcats, who after their win... And coach, I'm going to say that was Region 5 and Region 6 combined. Is that what that region was?
I believe that was Region 6. Yeah, we're Region 5. I think that's 6.
And they were 6. So yes, a combination of Region 5 and 6, the finals last Monday night against Wayne County in Wayne County. And that was a huge win. Lou Maddox and I were on the call for WKOM 101.7. And at halftime, you were down 7 points. And we thought, you know, to really make a comeback – there's going to have to be a great halftime speech by you and your son, Auden, along with Macon Atkinson, Andrew Graves, Jack Slaughter. They're going to have to come out and play one of their better halves that we've seen Santa Fe play all year. And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what happened. We, which, you know, I have a lot of faith in this team in the second half. All season long, we've been a good second half team that we go in and we make adjustments and I think that's one of the biggest differences from last year. You know, we Auden in particular, but really the whole group. You know, I told him last year when we had a bad half, we couldn't get over that mid game, and we had to almost chalk it up as a bad game. And this year, I think that's been one of the biggest differences is we've been able to be mature, hit reset, and come back out and do what we needed to do. So we made a few adjustments and that helped us defensively, but really it was just energy and effort. And I thought. As hard as Wayne County played, we matched it and maybe one-upped it in the second half.
I felt as though watching the game, and Auden being the player that he is and the ability he has to score so many points, he's taken on the role when Wayne County would double and triple team him. He now, instead of forcing a shot or putting up a shot that probably is a low percentage shot, which he has a tendency to hit sometimes.
Right, right.
But he was looking for his teammates. He found Andrew Graves under the goal two or three times in crucial points in that second half. Mm-hmm. He found his Robin to his Batman of the dynamic duo, Macon Atkinson.
Yeah.
And he was finding and his ability now to realize just a numbers thing. When there's two or three guys that chase him to the corner of the court to double trap him, double team him, he's now looking for his teammates, right? I mean, and that's the way – that's just the way it is. That's the way it's got to be in order to play the better teams and keep advancing, especially now going to the state tournament.
100%. I mean, there's a lot of bad teams with one great player on it. But to be good, you got to have everybody. And you know what we've been talking about a lot is, you know, Auden's got to have the trust in his teammates, and his teammates got to give him something to trust. You know, and they understand that. I think you go back to the Eagle Regional Championship game. Auden had a really good game, 44 points, was fine in the guys, and they didn't deliver. And they knew. And they knew they had to step up and be there in the Wayne County game, especially after the way that the regional championship went. We knew he was going to get a lot of focus, and they had to play, and they did really well. I thought all of our guys weren't afraid of the moment and did what they needed to do.
Well, there you go. Okay, so two seasons ago, East Robinson comes into the sectional or sub-state. They're in Santa Fe. There's a put-back goal right at the last second. Just a heartbreaker. I mean, it's, you know, that's the only way you can describe that, right?
Yeah. So that was the year East Robinson won the state. We were actually playing West Carroll in that game.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So West Carroll, but yes, absolutely. It was the first region championship in school history 2 years ago, and our second sub-state, but first home sub-state game, and that gym was rocking. And yeah, we, you know, fought to the end and lose about in as big a heartbreaking fashion as you can.
Well, so. you seem to be a head coach of first. So this is the first time that Santa Fe has ever gone to the state tournament.
Yeah.
How long has Santa Fe School been in existence?
We just had our 100-year celebration maybe a year or two ago. So.
How fantastic. Yeah. How exciting is that? And the community and the students and your players, they just must be just tickled to death.
Yeah, I mean, we are, and, you know, I graduated there in 2001, born and raised in the community, and as a player, I think my best team season was 10 wins or something like that, you know. But it's we've talked about it literally from this summer when we were working out and getting ready, that it's not just about us, that this, we knew how this community would respond. And you know, you were there at the Wayne County game. I think there were as many Santa Fe people there as it was Wayne County. And
yes,
it just feels really, really good to break through and do it for the community and, you know, us as well.
So. Well, as I said on the radio broadcasting those games, and I said it when we were in Richland, and I said it when I hope someone has gotten in touch with the sheriff and told that the to pick up the during these games, and especially next week when you're in Murfreesboro, that hopefully the Murray County Sheriff's Department will put a couple extra patrol cars in the Santa Fe area, because there's not going to be anybody in Santa Fe left. They're all going to be in Murfreesboro rooting you guys on. And to get to that question, how important is it and how great is it? You graduated from there. Your whole coaching career, you coached middle school there. You followed your sons, Andy and Auden, through their basketball middle school years and now their high school years. How important is Santa Fe to you and the community, to you and to your players?
Man, that's hard to even talk about without getting emotional, honestly. But, like, it's why for me it's everything. It's why I do it. You know, I'm a non-faculty coach that goes and has practices and gets home at 8 to 9 o'clock every night through the week for the last 10 years. And, you know, we don't do it for the money in coaching, you know, right. High school sports. So that's what it's all about. It's about doing it for the community and the team. And, you know, my whole team feels the same way. It's bigger than us.
So,
okay. That was head coach Brad Slaughter of the Santa Fe Wildcats. And I think by listening to that, coach, you listeners can understand where his heart is, where his head is, where his dedication is, and that is to his team and to the community of Santa Fe. And I think I can speak for all of Murray County. We will be watching and rooting and supporting the Wildcats on their quest, as they are only 3 wins away from hoisting the state championship trophy. And oh my goodness, what a day.
That would be pretty wild.
What a parade it would be through the streets of Santa Fe community.
You know, I think
if they were able to pull that off.
They probably would have a parade. I think, you know, obviously we'll cover them as far as they go in this tournament. I mean, we might as well go ahead and go and cover the parade. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We should go and...
Well, we're going to have the call, folks. Yeah. Wednesday at 5:30 is when the game is scheduled to tip off. Now, it could be a little bit later than that, depending on how the games go prior to that game between North Greene and Santa Fe. But we are scheduled to tip off at 5:30. Big Lou and I will come on the air at 5 o'clock on Wednesday the 13th, this coming Wednesday. So if you can't make it to Murfreesboro, tune us in on 101.7 FM WKOM right here on this channel, and we will have the Santa Fe Boys Wildcats versus North Greene.
I'm excited about it.
I am too. Really looking forward to it. Something special. Okay, this is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I'm Drake. He's Big Lou. We're going to take a break, come back and talk about some SEC tournament ball, a little bit of Major League Baseball. Opening day is right around the corner.
Sure is.
We'll be right back.
I know you do. I know you do. That's why whenever I come around, she's all over you.
The Mules are back in town. Celebrate Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th to 7th in downtown Columbia. All of your favorite Mule Day events are back. Jackpot mule races, log pulling, state auctioneers contest, Miss Mule Day pageant, the driving and gated mule shows, liars contest, and so much more. Don't miss the Mule Day Parade, 11 a.m. Saturday, April 6th. Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th through the 7th in downtown Columbia. Visit MuleDay.com for a complete schedule of events.
This is Coach Tredarius Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship, beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia, owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Carrie, registered gemologist, assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Hey, this is Tripp Stoltz, owner of Columbia Ace Hardware. Spring is here, and we are excited to announce that we have completely remodeled our store. We have expanded our selection in many brands, including Milwaukee, Steel, and Big Green Egg. We have new inventory arriving daily, so come see the changes for yourself at 112 East James Campbell Boulevard, Columbia, Tennessee.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113. Or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled, but then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tui, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill.
Go to callmepainfree.com.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE Primetech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Tripp Stoltz with Columbia Ace Hardware. I love listening to 101.7 WKOM FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
And welcome back into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I'm Drake, joined in the studio by Big Lou.
It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
I love Fridays. I mean, I'm retired now, but I mean, I still love Fridays.
There's just an energy in the air.
There really is. I think everybody else is, you know, everybody you run into in the street or stores or whatever you're doing, just in a little bit better mood because it's Friday, man.
Absolutely.
There you go. We just got through with the first part. There's three parts to this interview that I did with head coach Brad Slaughter of the state tournament bound Santa Fe Wildcats, the first time ever in the school's 100-year history.
It's crazy.
And if anybody listening to this broadcast doesn't know where Santa Fe is, Santa Fe's kind of in the, I would say, northwestern side of Maury County.
Yep.
A little farming community, rural community there. As you out Highway 7, as you head towards Dixon, or what, how we would probably go to Memphis from Columbia, probably head out 7 and hit I-40, go right past the beautiful rolling hills of Santa Fe. And I can tell you this, they are super excited about going to the Glass House in Murfreesboro, the Murphy Center next week, and rooting their Santa Fe Wildcats on.
I guarantee it's going to be packed out in there.
And just to give you an idea, if you're not familiar with Santa Fe Wildcats, Auden Slaughter, Brad's son, Auden, is a junior and averaging a little over 34 points a game and a little over eight rebounds a game. And Big Lou, we were at the game where he got his 2,000th point commemorative basketball, and that was just after Christmas this year as a junior.
Yeah, that was one of the first MCPS games of the week of this past basketball regular season. And they played Cullioca. It was a good game.
Yeah, it really was. And I told you at that time, in 30 years of officiating high school basketball, I rarely even saw, and they would stop the game for 1,000-point scores and so forth. But I probably count on one hand the times that we stopped in 30 years. They stopped the game to commemorate a player for scoring their 2,000th point.
And
that was just after Christmas this year. So he's got another, let's say, year and a half of basketball seasons, or one and a half more seasons to go to probably get well over 3,000 points.
And you can count those 2,000 point scores on one hand probably that you've seen in person. Now take into account that he's just a junior, and that was just, you know, midway through the season. How many has that been? Probably none.
Now, Mr. Slaughter's Robin to his Batman for the dynamic duo, Macon Atkinson, who's also a junior, averages 14 points a game, 5 rebounds a game. Andrew Graves, who's another junior, averages 8 points a game, 2 rebounds a game. And then really out of their starting 5, there's one senior and 4 juniors. Austin Hazlett is a senior, and his brother, I assume it's his brother, Caleb Hazlett, is a junior. So and then Jack Slaughter comes in. He's a freshman.
Cousin of Auden.
That's right. So it's a family affair, obviously, with the Slaughters there in Santa Fe. And a very exciting time to be a part of the Santa Fe community, to be a Santa Fe Wildcat, whether you're a student, part of the administration, the faculty, whatever. They are getting ramped up, and ready to go to Murfreesboro next week. And we're going to bring you the game starting at 5 o'clock this coming Wednesday. The game is scheduled for 5:30. We're going to start at the broadcast at 5. And we'll finish up my interview with Coach Slaughter on Monday's Front Porch Radio Sports Hour.
Yeah.
Radio Hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Front Porch Sports Radio Hour show. And then we'll finish up the last segment on the pregame before Wednesday's tip-off against North Greene. Now, North Greene had to go to Harriman, and North Greene was – their record was 20-15 at that time, and they were playing a Harriman team in Harriman's gym that had a record of 26-2. And North Greene went in there and pulled off the win by, I think, 4 points.
I wonder what the record is for the second-place teams in the region across the state, because it sounds like all the second place teams are going into other people's gyms and getting wins.
And also, right. And along with another area school in this area, well, not area, but people might be familiar with, is Frank Hughes High School down in Clifton, Tennessee, for all the people that go to the Tennessee River during the summertime. But in Clifton, Frank Hughes High School, they are representing Single A and Wayne County in the boys' state tournament also. So that's interesting to see. Now, college basketball. The tournaments have begun. I mean, we're already the Sun Belt Conference and the Southern Conference, the Missouri Valley Conference, Colonial Conference, Big South Conference, the Northeast Conference have all started first rounds and get into second rounds, and we'll probably finish up on this coming Sunday as the larger conferences like the SEC, ACC are finishing up their regular season this Saturday, and then we'll start their conference tournaments next Wednesday, the same time the Santa Fe Wildcats are starting their quest to win a state title on Wednesday.
And by the way, the SEC women's tournament is going on right now. Tennessee, the Lady Vols got a victory yesterday on Thursday against Kentucky. Tennessee, Lady Vols, and Alabama are playing right now. It's Tennessee's up by 5, 19-14, with 9:04 to go in the second quarter.
By the time this airs, that game will be over. I mean, we're recording this, isn't it?
Yeah. No problem.
Yesterday we were live.
We were.
Yes, we were live yesterday. Today we're recording this because of scheduling issues. But so the SEC regular season ends tomorrow, and basically the only big game that of any consequence maybe is number 15 Kentucky travels to Tennessee, and Tennessee, and that game tips off at 3:00 in Knoxville, and Tennessee can just put a cherry on top of what has been a terrific season for the Vols, regular season for the Vols. They have clinched the SEC regular title. Congratulations to them. And now they move on to the SEC tournament. And right now they're considered a number one seed by ESPN and Joe Lunardi and company. I don't know if they lost the first round of the SEC tournament next week. I don't know how much that would affect them losing their number one seed or not. I
really don't know when those seeds are – completely set in stone. Do you? I mean, is it after all the conference
tournaments? No, I mean the NCAA committee March Madness committee determines that. But I mean, I think Joe Lunardi has an idea. I mean, he's like the guru of March Madness, so I think he has an idea, and pretty much nails it on where the committee would put teams as far as their seeds and what region and so forth.
And so I
think he's going to get it right. And I think Tennessee deserves a number one seed.
I do too. And a lot of predictions on the AP poll coming out this week in a couple of days, I guess, has Tennessee jumping UConn now. A lot of predictions. Well, so we'll see if
that
happens.
Careful. I would tread lightly on that.
Well, I know.
The last thing any of those teams, any of those number one seeds want to do is – probably disrespect UConn somehow and make them an underdog, put them in an underdog type situation.
You don't want to make anybody the underdog.
No, but I'm just telling you.
But UConn's good.
They are pretty.
They are very good.
There you go. Okay, so right now predicted seeding for the SEC tournament, Tennessee's obviously 1, Bama 2, Auburn 3, South Carolina 4, and Kentucky 5. Now, on Wednesday, if things – if all teams hold serve this weekend and finish up like they should, on Wednesday, Arkansas and Vanderbilt will match up, and Georgia and Mizzou will match up on Wednesday this coming next week for the SEC tournament. On Thursday, A&M and Mississippi State will play. Kentucky will play the Arkansas-Vanderbilt winner. LSU versus Ole Miss on Thursday. This is March 14th, 6 days from now. And Florida will play the Georgia-Missouri winner. And then Friday, Tennessee will play A&M, Mississippi State winner at noon. And then Alabama will play the LSU Ole Miss winner following that game on Friday. And then, of course, Saturday we'll have the two semifinal games. And then Sunday, wear your green, baby. It's St. Patty's Day.
Really? Is that the 17th?
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, cool. In a year from now, if you're a beer drinker, you can enjoy a frosty, cold green beer.
I don't know if I'm legally allowed to say if I am or not. But.
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
a year from now,
year from
Big
now,
Lou,
I
when you're old enough
that
to
holiday,
drink,
sure.
And it's St. Patty's Day. I mean, you'll be 21 a year from now, right?
Yep.
I'm going to buy you, if we're together on St. Patty's Day, I'm going to buy you, if you want one, a frosty, cold, green beer.
Green.
Okay?
Okay.
Green. Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Top 25 NCAA basketball games, men's basketball games this weekend. 24-6 North Carolina, ranked number 7 in the country, is traveling to Duke, and they are also 24-6, identical records. Duke's ranked number 9, and you know that Duke North Carolina game is always a classic. I mean,
I think it's the best rivalry in college basketball.
It's got to be. You know what I mean?
I mean, what else is?
Now, careful, Duke fans, don't be rushing the floor. If you be, do not. And Coach John Shire, whatever happens.
He'd be pretty
do
upset.
Do not allow all those crazy, the
Cameron crazies, yep.
To storm the court and put your players or North Carolina players in some type of hazardous situation.
Like what happened against, what was it, Wake Forest?
That's right. And at Wake Forest, when the Wake Forest fans stormed the court and Filipowski, you know, somehow stuck his leg out there, tripped a young lady, looked like, from Wake Forest, and then while also shoving her to the ground, and then he comes up holding his knee, had to be carried off the floor, and then two nights later, I don't know, scored 30 and had 10 rebounds or something.
So it obviously wasn't as serious as thought it was.
I don't know. But anyway,
I don't think there's any problem.
Don't be
with
doing that,
coach.
Don't be storming the court.
That's been a thing for.
You got to stop it. You got to stop
the entire history of the game.
That's right. So all you Duke fans out there, don't be storming that court if you beat North Carolina at home tomorrow afternoon. Okay.
What a joke.
Because that's a no-no, right?
That's got to stay in the game. It has to.
I mean, you know.
There's never been a problem with that.
It's going to stay in the game unless they put a chain link fence up around the court.
Actually,
they play in some type of cage.
There was a video circling at the Tennessee and Alabama game about a week ago that before the game, the security staff had court-storming practice to where if Alabama had won that game, they had – measures in place, because that was pretty close to that Wake Forest incident, which drew a lot of media attention and had everybody talking about court storming. So, obviously, that never happened.
There you go. So, did you know, have you all paid any attention to ranked teams playing unranked teams this year and how many times unranked teams have come out ahead?
We talked about that yesterday. Did you get a stat on it?
Well, about a month ago, there's an article that came out, and out of the ranked AP top 25 teams, those AP top 25s were 67 and 64. 67 wins, 64 losses against unranked road opponents. So when those ranked teams went on the road against an unranked team,
they have some trouble.
The winning percentage was .554, and we're going to talk about that on the backside of this break. And it's kind of interesting, especially with the March Madness right around the tournament. And it could very well play into the tournament, who wins, where they play, where they get support. Do they have to travel across country like some teams do when the NCAA committee sends them there? So this is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake. He is Big Lou. It is Friday, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
This is Jim Ross, and you are listening to Front Porch Radio, WKOM 101.7, located in Columbia, Tennessee.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. We have advertised with WKRM and WKOM for the past several years and found it to be very successful. I highly recommend advertising with them if you have a local business like ours. We're located at 1608 Hatcher Lane here in Columbia. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturdays from 8 to 2. Stop by Holland's for all your prescription needs where we have fast, friendly, courteous service. We custom fit support hose for you also. Thanks for supporting Holland's and WKRM and WKOM.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hey, this is Derek Ransom of Ten Pin Alley, voted number one family entertainment center in Murray County. We offer 32 bowling lanes, giant arcade, laser tag, bumper cars, and a full cafe and bar menu. We also specialize in group events, kids and adult birthday parties, company parties, sports team parties, and holiday parties. We're located at 322 East James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia. Call us today at 931-381-BOWL or visit us at tenpin.com. Ten Pin Alley, it's where the good times roll.
In today's uncertain world, you can never be too careful about your family's financial future. That's why the Parker Group, a part of Baird's Private Wealth Management, is offering a free second opinion on your financial plans. Let us review your current plan, and we will identify any gaps and offer suggestions to improve it. Please call the Parker Group at 931-548-3737. That's 931-548-3737. Robert W. Baird & Company Incorporated does not offer tax or legal advice.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I'm going to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years, and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Coach Devin Simler from Columbia Central Baseball. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Welcome back in to the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I'm Drake in the studio this Friday afternoon with Big Lou Maddox. We're getting ready for a big weekend of basketball, and I was just talking about ranked teams this year playing unranked teams. And this has been probably, well, according to ranked teams in the AP Top 25 as of the first week in February, which basically was a month ago. The AP Top 25 teams playing unranked road opponents. On the road, the top-ranked teams playing on the road against unranked opponents. The Top 25 has shown the lowest winning percentage since 2010 season. In 14 years, it has been the most evenly matched, or winning percentage has been about even, which is a .554, which is basically half. 67 wins, 64 losses for top 25 teams on the road against unranked teams.
It's
Does
crazy.
That make sense?
I mean, it makes sense, but I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Okay,
like, it
I
shouldn't
you.
Be happening.
Now, the worst top 10 carnage of ranked teams came in early January of this year when top-ranked Purdue, number two Houston, number three Kansas, number five Tennessee, and number nine Oklahoma all lost to unranked opponents on the road, and I believe that was all in the same week.
I think it was. It was. I mean, there was a stretch there that was just
crazy,
unbelievable. And, you know, I was very upset.
And I think Tennessee's loss was it A&M?
Or I think what? So. It was A&M on the road. And I was very upset about it. But then, you know, and I was upset because, oh, man, we're going to drop in the polls. But not really, because everybody else lost too. So we're probably going to stay put.
Well, I mean, you know,
and
that
for the
was,
most part, they did.
That was three teams in January that are the top seeds, projected top seeds in March Madness by ESPN, that lost basically in the same week to unranked opponents on the road. Now, what causes all this, Big Lou? And I've got the article I read. They had a theory on it.
Okay.
And they say the transfer portal, the combination of the transfer portal and the automatic eligibility of players transferring and being able to play, not having to sit out a year as they did prior to all this
NIL stuff
craziness going on,
yeah.
Right? And the pandemic that happened, because the pandemic allowed the NCAA gave players during
year.
The pandemic a free year, another year, right?
Yeah.
So the transfer portal makes it easier to level the playing on not the field, but the hardwood, let's say, okay?
Playing surface.
Right. There you go. And, of course, COVID's impact on giving players an extra year help teams have more veteran players and older players?
Dalton Connect, for example.
Okay. You know, 4 years after the start of the pandemic, which is where we are now, basketball is filled with players who have been in college basketball for five, six, sometimes some of them 7 years now.
Some of them more than that.
There's a guard that plays for Manhattan College or University. I think it's Manhattan, but they just call it Manhattan. Do you know what their nicknames are? Boy, I tell you what, you get this, I'm going to buy you a fried pie. Have you ever had a fried pie?
I have not.
What?
Maybe I have.
Oh, my God.
It's been a while.
I'm going to buy you a fried pie. Anyway, just because you said that.
Are they the apples?
Next week at Murphy Center, I'm going to buy you a fried pie.
Okay.
Okay.
Are they the big apples?
They're the Jaspers.
Yeah, I wouldn't get
The Jaspers of Manhattan. They have a guard. His name is DeJuan Clayton. He's 26 years old. Now, unfortunately for DeJuan, he's been injured throughout his career, kind of played sporadically. But get this.
Talk about a super senior.
This is DeJuan this year, and he just got a pat. The courts, the NCAA was trying to keep him out and not allow him to play 8 years. He appealed their decision to a court, I guess they're in New York State somewhere, and after multiple injuries, like I said, and the pandemic extension, he is being allowed to play in his eighth season of college basketball at 26 years old.
That's double. Now
that's crazy.
It's crazy. That's double a normal college career.
Yeah. DeJuan Clayton for the Manhattan Jaspers.
Well, congratulations to him. That's pretty
cool. The Nashville Predators are back on their winning track.
Got it done last night.
After winning eight straight, then losing to Montreal, to the Montreal Canadiens in a wild 4-3 overtime screwed up game, which, you know, Big Lou, after that loss and that weird careening puck off of the stanchion of the glass, it went into the empty net for the Canadiens, and all that crap went on, and then the overtime.
The power play and just the buzzer beater on the power play.
Comedy of errors that caused the
high-sticking penalty
Predators
on a game-winning goal.
And their eight-game winning streak on Tuesday night as they lost 4-3 in overtime to the Canadiens. Well, they got back on. They got off the snide and got back on a winning track last night against the Buffalo Sabres behind Philip Forsberg's hat trick, baby. That's right.
He was the man last night.
A hat trick.
He's been the man
his
whole career.
A hat trick in hockey is kind of like a turkey in bowling. Do you know what a turkey is?
I don't. Fill me in.
A turkey is three strikes in a row.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Three strikes in a row is called a turkey in bowling. Hat trick in hockey.
Like I feel like a hat trick is harder to do.
Is three goals. Yeah. Well,
that's a huge
they only
deal.
Scored four, and Philip Forsberg had three of them as they won 4-2. And the next Predator victim will be at Columbus on Saturday, and that the puck drops at 11:30 in the morning on Saturday. Central time.
That's odd.
Against the Blue Jackets. So stay tuned and go Preds, baby. Major League Baseball, folks, 20 days away. I mean, that's it. 20 days away. That will be when all teams play March 28th. But 8 days before that, on March 20th, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres travel all the way to South Korea and play a two-game stint, one, not a doubleheader, but two back-to-back days,
yep,
in South Korea. And the Dodgers get to show off their new $700 million man, Shohei Ohtani, recently married to a nice young Japanese girl from his home country.
Japanese, okay.
And their other $325 million Japanese pitcher, Mr. Yamamoto, is also on that team.
It's a good restaurant.
And, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what's going on in Major League Baseball. I know you Braves fans, it's just around the corner.
And you'll be able to hear every single game.
Yeah, we're
on
3 weeks away.
Station,
it'll be here before you know it. That's right. And the Braves are here right here. Oh, on
the other station.
On the sister station, 103.7 FM. The Braves are carried right here out of Columbia. So tune in, 103.7 FM.
We got it all around here.
You dang sure do. Tennessee basketball, Tennessee football. Going to have Tennessee women's, Tennessee softball when they come to Columbia.
You got Tennessee, Alabama, Titans.
Alabama, Titans.
Braves, NASCAR. What, I mean, what else could you want?
Punch 101.7 and 103.7. Save them in your radio. Put them in your memory. Yeah, doing it all. The Steelers and the Giants had exploratory meetings, quote, exploratory meetings with former quarterback and $40 million owed from the Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson, this past week. Russell Wilson was seen by Adam Schefter in the Newark airport. As he, from what they say, we're going to talk to the Giants. Now, the Giants got Daniel Jones. The Steelers are, said they're all in with Kenny Pickett, right?
I don't buy either of those.
But you know what? The thing about hiring Russell Wilson is you can get him basically for a league minimum of about $1.2 million.
Right.
You know, he if he really wants to play football. And, you know, who's really paying him is the Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah. A lot of money.
At like $39 million. Plus, I guess you said there was some more on top of that.
Well, it's $39 million for the next two seasons.
Okay. So.
So it's close to 85, I'm pretty sure. 85 yeah. million is what I think.
Hey, Russell, so. Nashville's a nice area. I'll take Russell as a backup
for
$1 million to help Levis out a little bit.
And we've got 80 to play with. So, I mean, come on down, Russell. Teach Will some a thing or two and make us better for the future.
Okay, all you golfers, I know with the weather getting pretty and it's springtime, and you rejoice because even the pros on the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, whatever, even the pros get out there, hack it around, and occasionally put up a big number, double-digit number, on a hole. Yesterday at the Arnold Palmer Tournament at Bay Hill, PGA pro Tommy Fleetwood, and he's got kind of this long hair. And
Fleetwood sounds like a guy that would have
that's cool, yeah.
Some cool
he's
hair.
Kind of a cool cat. Fleetwood made a 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on the par 5, 6th hole. Now, the par 5, 6th hole at Bay Hill, it's a par 5. It's only 350 yards. No big deal. Some pros
easy.
Can drive it, right?
Right.
But the problem is the 350 from tee to green, it's one of the more famous par 5s in golf. And the par – excuse me, the 6th hole, par 5, 6th at Bay Hill, on the left side all the way down the fairway is a big, huge lake that snuggles the left side, and then it kind of curves around to your left, and it runs along the green and kind of the left side of the green, okay?
Gotcha.
From tee to green. Now,
big hazard.
Fleetwood didn't have any problem finding the fairway off the tee. No problem. Hit a nice shot of the fairway. The problem was he hit his first approach into the lake.
Mm.
He hit his second approach into the lake. He hit his third approach into the lake.
Maybe.
So after penalties.
Spend all the points on the hair and maybe need some glasses.
I don't know. The clothes and the hair. But after penalties and hitting those three approach shots in the water, Mr. Fleetwood finally got on the green with his lane eight on the putting surface. Then he two putted.
That's 10.
For a 10 on number 6, par 5. At Bay Hill. So, next time you shoot you make
like
a triple bogey on a par 5, a double bogey, quadruple bogey, a 9, just remember, they're pro golfers that make 10 more than you did or more than I did. Now,
makes you feel better about yourself.
Real quick, 10 isn't even close to the highest PGA score on that hole. You know who had the highest PGA score? John Daly had an 18 in 1998 on that hole. And somewhere, Arnold Palmer is drinking an Arnold Palmer, and he has a big old smile on his face. God bless Arnold Palmer. This has been the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I'm Drake. It's Friday. I'm with Big Lou, and we're out of here.